Welcome to the Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk, a show committed to educating, empowering, and entertaining you while saving you thousands. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune. It's time to gain knowledge and become the guardian of your financial future. I want to thank our sponsor, Cornerstone Mortgage, known for having the lowest rates and the smoothest closings.
If you have a question you would like addressed on the air, you can call or text the show at 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-DOUG, which is 3684. All the information from our show will be on our website at smartwithyourmoney.com.
Smartwithyourmoney.com. Great website. We're getting a lot of traffic on there, Tammy.
Yeah, it's good.
So I am joined by my co-host, my trusted co-host in life, too, my beautiful wife, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome,
Tammy. Thanks for having me today.
So this has been a fun week watching the fireworks, the pyrotechnics of the debate early in the week. It was pretty crazy.
It's been a while since I've watched, obviously, so it's kind of gets me fired up. A little bit.
Well, yeah, I heard one station was playing the Rocky theme before. Yeah. It was like a heavyweight fight coming up. It was interesting watching all
Jimmy Kimmel had a thing. If the debates were done while they were drunk, and all he did was slow down the speech as they were. It was funny.
I love it. Well, you know, we typically don't get very political on this show, but I think that you know there's a point where I think we have to call it as we see it. When we look at a few of these issues, mm-hmm. Are you with me there?
Yeah.
Because I know you've definitely been reluctant to express some views on the air.
Yeah, because I weigh everything out a little more.
And I don't think either one of us are super strongly opinionated. We're not people that are so opinionated that our minds can't be changed about certain things.
Very true. I think I approach things a little more like I have to know all the facts before I make a decision. So I'm one of the educated voters when I go in. I know all about a bill or something like that.
Right. So and I'll just put it out there on what I think of the two candidates. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to vote for Trump for sure. Mm-hmm. However, yeah, I think he's an idiot, and Clinton's even worse. So it's kind of the cream of the crap. Mm-hmm. And I'm a fan of Trump in the sense, I mean, you know. Long before this election, I've had a whole stack of Trump books. I liked watching The Apprentice because I learned business things from him. Mm-hmm. I was a fan of his in business. Now, if he's running for president, man, guy can't keep his mouth shut.
He says some pretty, we'll just go.
And here's what I'll say is that if he does lose the election, which I think is likely, it will be because of his mouth.
It could be.
I mean, he said enough inflammatory things that aren't presidential that's going to cost him, and all of our Republican voters should be a little upset about that because I think that Hillary was very beatable.
Yeah, I think if we can eliminate being offended by anything he does and says.
Well, yeah, because I don't think either of us are offended.
No, I don't, but I do. You know, I do take in consideration when you go and negotiate with a foreign country and they're put off by Americans anyway, and you send someone like him. You know, I want to have trust and faith that someone will speak for a negotiation or speak in good term or whatever. Like, what if he goes up to somebody in Iraq and, you know, says all right, something?
All right, here's one of my favorite stupid things that I think he's done in this election. When I used to watch The Apprentice, I liked to watch the boardroom scene. And that's when, you know, after they would do their different contests, he'd figure out who's going to fire. And he'd have somebody on the hot seat, okay? And if anybody else, well, I had one person on the hot seat. If anybody else ever chimed in, he would fire them immediately because he'd say, you're stupid. They were on the hot seat, and now you've chimed in for no reason and put the attention on you. You're fired.
Okay, and he's doing that.
He's done that a bunch of times with his tweets. During the Democratic National Convention with the veteran whose family was up there.
Just not cool.
Well, what he tweeted wasn't out of line in the sense that it may have been true. But don't do that yourself. Like, let someone else tweet that. You don't say the stupid inflammatory
when
things.
When you're running for president.
Right. No, it's just
a little more tact, and I guess that's what I hope for. So really, you know, if we get down to what both sides stand for, Republicans stand for and what Democrats stand for, I think that's what we have to kind of look at the premise of the subject matter.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go, I guess, let's start out with good old Hillary, because she said some crazy things during the debate. Let's pick on a couple of those things first.
All right.
Well, first was profit sharing.
Right.
You remember what her comments were about that?
Well, let's see. She said, I also want to see more companies do profit sharing. If you help create the profits, you should be able to share in them, not just the executives at the top. You know, it kind of sounds all right, doesn't it?
Like, oh, yeah. What a great
theory. As a middle class worker myself, I would love to share in the profits.
But what she's really saying is a full scale governmental intervention into every business in America.
Right. And then it does lead to that. And unfortunately, she's wanting to put the government into all of that to tell every business in America how they should run it. And I just don't think that's, first of all, I just don't think government should be in the business any more than they have
to be. Yeah, absolutely. They should be minimalist on their intervention. That, to me, the government's role when it comes to business, it's like trying to have a basketball game without a referee. Okay, the referee's there to enforce the rules and make sure that nobody's cheating or nobody's bending everything to their will. And that's kind of the role of the government, is that you wouldn't want to play that basketball game or a football game without a referee. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're there for, making sure people are playing by the rules and they're not making their own market.
Right.
So forcing profit sharing is just...
You can't force a business to do that.
And I encourage business to do it. I think it's actually good business to do it.
I think it is. I think, honestly, I think most businesses like to reward their employees for the most part. And I can't say that for every single business, obviously, out there. But I think coming from a small business and owning a couple of them myself, if my people needed time off, that's a reward. You know, if I could give them a raise, I would. You know, it's all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's economic fascism if they really want to intervene like that. Mm-hmm. So. Okay, one of the other things that was interesting is that Trump put out there was about, I'm going to say, I feel like it personally is a contradiction, was when he talked about the Fed being political, okay, by not raising interest rates. So here's what I will give him. Is the Fed political? And I'm going to say, yes, they are. There's some good evidence. Janet Yellen was just in front of Congress this week getting roasted about this, okay, because Janet Yellen... A lot of people don't know, but Janet Yellen chaired President Bill Clinton's Council of Economic Advisors from 1997 to 1999. So she's definitely tied to the Clintons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then Fed Governor Lael Bernard has donated to the Clinton campaign, which most government employees, it's illegal for them to donate to a political campaign. For a Fed governor, it's actually not illegal, but Lael Bernard has donated to the Clinton campaign, $2,700. So there's obviously some partisanship that probably goes on there in their beliefs. Now, the question is, are they changing their decisions based on that partisanship? Okay. So Trump says the U.S. economy is in a big, fat, ugly bubble and warned of a stock market crash when borrowing costs rise. And I don't think he's far off base there, okay, which basically is saying do not raise interest rates or it's going to crash the economy. But then on the other hand, he's saying that the Fed is not doing their job, okay, which Fed hasn't raised interest rates, and he's implying they didn't do their job, which means that they should have raised interest rates. Okay, and you can't have it both ways.
I guess I watched that clip a little bit, over and over just to kind of get it. And I kind of took it differently than you, that I think what he was trying, my personal take is that he was trying to tie the political agenda that these two are very Democratic people that are in lead positions, and they're allowing that political partisanship to determine what they do with their job.
I agree, but then the question would become, if there was no partisanship at all, would their decisions have been different up to this point? And I don't think it would be.
When you look at the economy the way it's going right now, I don't think
so. I don't think that they've kept rates where they are for political reasons, because rates should be where they are right now.
I think he's just challenging their loyalty,
right,
to the American people or to the politics,
right, of it. Absolutely. And they've shown that they are partisan, but I don't know that it's affected their decision making up to this point.
Yeah.
All right. So I actually want to talk a little bit more about this debate, because I think there's things, how it ties into the economy and how it ties into you as our listener and as an American citizen, about being smart with your money, and is the country going to be smart with their money or not? We're going to talk about that and more when we return. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. Rejoined by Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tam.
Thanks.
All right. So let's jump back into this debate, because it's not just a debate that happened on Monday, but it's also just a difference in philosophy on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And one that you and I had talked about are the trade deals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it's really an issue of the tariffs of things going in and out.
Right.
And you know, some of the things that come along with that. So let's, you know, Trump is pretty big on, he wants 35% tariff on Mexican goods, 45% tariff on Chinese goods. So that would mean TV made in Mexico would, you know, $100 TV would now cost $135. So definitely makes it more expensive for Americans to buy those goods.
Right.
So what's your quick opinion on this, Tammy, or do you want me to jump in on it?
You can keep jumping.
All right.
So far, so good.
All right. So here's my opinion on this, is I think that if anybody's going to represent Americans when it comes to how to negotiate a business deal, because mm-hmm. this is just a business deal.
Right.
I'm going to say this is going to be one of Trump's strengths.
I do, too. I do believe that.
So I would pick him. That's probably the number one reason I would vote for the guy, is that we are mm-hmm. getting our clocks clean
yes.
by China, getting our clocks clean by, yes. I'm not even going to say Mexico as bad as China, mm-hmm. but Mexico definitely is on that list. Mm-hmm. So I think that the tariffs should be equal, meaning mm-hmm. that as a country, it's not about, it's really not about trying to get the tax money from them, from those other countries. It's about leveling the playing field. So since World War II, all of our policies have been to have minimal tariffs on imported goods. But it's not a level playing field when we can't export anything to them because they charge too much money. So evening that out, countries that charge us a lot, we should charge them a lot. That's right. My opinion on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right.
Go ahead.
All right. So that's kind of my two cents worth on that topic, Tam. Anything you have to add to it?
I mean, I have some personal experience with the whole trade stuff. And when I was buying and selling in the NAFTA, when the NAFTA agreement went into place, it really messed us up when we were trying to trade, because at one point we were free trade. We could trade anywhere, exporting our products. You know, I used to do furniture parts for Simmons Furniture. I did Bun Feet. And the moment NAFTA came about is when my business went out of business, because China could do it cheaper.
Right. I mean, it definitely was not a fair agreement for us. It was a horrible agreement.
I couldn't compete. It became a I couldn't compete, and I couldn't sell my products. So
one of the other areas, I think that you and I are on the same page with this. One of the other areas would be being really tough about China stealing all of our technology and our patents and not honoring any of our patent law. And that's going to take somebody getting really stinking tough with them.
That happened so much to me and the company I used to work for. There is no honor. They like to claim that they're honorable. There is no honor amongst thieves.
Right. They'll just duplicate your product exactly.
And they sold our product right out from under us to a competitor. And, you know, they just don't honor the rights. And where I appreciate where Trump was going is that if a violation happened, that there would be some legal standing, because right now there isn't. There just isn't a legal standing on it.
Well, and we've let ourselves get so far in bed with them, mm-hmm. with China. I love the Saturday Night Live skits, and we may want to put this on our website, because there's a Saturday Night Live skit about that, on how much money we owe China because they've invested in a lot of U.S. bonds. And then there's a fear that if they came over and just started selling all of our bonds, then our interest rates are going to skyrocket. All right. Mm-hmm. One of the other places I think is interesting is when Hillary talked about more pay for less work for women.
Yeah, she dropped that line, and I caught that too, and she she was trying to say that Trump is very sexist and racist, and it's his daughter, Ivanka Trump.
I'm sorry, Ivanka
is
his ex-wife.
Is his ex-wife, right. Ivana Trump. She was stating how proud she is of her dad because he hires more women than men. And as, you know, all of this was good to hear, and then here she's saying that he's sexist. And the
Well, not just sexist, but she said, this is a man... Let's see, what did you say? This is a man who has said women don't deserve equal pay unless they do as good a job as men.
And I agree with him. So here's a little behind me. I used to kind of get into politics a lot and was up on Jeff City and trying to get equal pay passed. But the wording I agreed with was equal pay for equal work.
Right. And that's not what she said in the
debate.
That
is not what she said. So,
well, so let's talk real quick about the topic because we only have a short period of time left. So when it comes to, is there a difference, is there a gender gap when it comes to wages? And the answer is yes.
Yes, there is.
But not necessarily on equal, on the same job. In most cases, when they look at the gender gap, the women make like 76% of what men do. It's because the jobs they take pay less. It's the professions they take pay less. So when you look at the differences within the same exact job, okay, as an employer, my view on it is that employers are typically going to pay people the least amount of money they can
to be profitable
and
staying in business.
Well, and to try to still keep the person happy. Mm-hmm. They're not going to pay them just a whole bunch extra arbitrarily. So, you know, as people, as I watch employers hire people, the majority of what will get one person more money than another is their negotiating skill. Okay, so the personality profile of a man, probably, you know, as being a little bit more, you know, they have more testosterone, they're more aggressive. I think that they're probably more aggressive negotiators when they come in and negotiate their wage. Is that fair, Tammy?
Yeah, I think for the most part that's true. I mean, being in HR at one point, more men asked for raises and was firmer at negotiating their salaries than a woman was, you know. And my boss that owned the company, I asked, you know, why hasn't he given this lady a raise? He goes, she has never asked in the 20 years. And so to my horror, I'm thinking, then why don't you just give her one, you know, in my head. And he ended up giving her one because I brought it up.
Right.
But I think that's where I started recognizing and trying to encourage women to speak up for themselves and to give value to the job that they do.
Yeah, I don't think that sexism or racism
has nothing to do.
Has that much to do with most of the activities of employers. I mean, as an employer, I've never really cared. So, all right, we're going to bury this topic. You can visit our website if you want to see more of this. You can visit smartwithyourmoney.com. So, coming up, we're going to be talking with an experienced fitness trainer and nutritionist who's going to tell you how to get the best out of yourself when we return. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.